Welcome to episode 5 of Adventures in Autism. I'm Megan Carranza. Thank you so much for coming back and for listening. I am so excited to be just continuing on episode 5 already. That's awesome. I have a really awesome guest on today. Her name is Christy. She is a fellow autism mama, and she's just so funny, and she was great to talk to. She had really, really awesome perspective that I think a lot of people are going to relate to. I do want to give a disclosure. We had a little bit of, technical difficulties with this episode, so the sound is not as good as I would like it to be. We didn't have the best connection, so bear with me. It's a little glitchy in spots. She kind of cuts out a little bit around like 9 minutes. But just stick with it. I think it's a really good episode. I loved how honest and real she was. So even though the sound is not the best, I think the message is what's most important. I think that with the whole thing with the podcast, I just, the idea around it, you know, just that support piece, I think it's so important. And it was really, really great to talk to Christy. So keep that in mind when you're listening. I also want to give a little warning. She did drop an F-bomb, which, you know, we keep it real here at Adventures in Autism. And sometimes you got to say it. So this is a little more adult listening. But again, I think you guys will really appreciate it. So I hope you enjoy listening. Here's Christy. Hello, Christy. Welcome to Adventures in Autism.
Thank you. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm ready.
Okay. Christy has told me that she's a little bit nervous, but I know she's going to be amazing, so I'm not nervous at all. I just want to give a little background. So Christy and I met, how long has it been? It was a long time ago.
Maybe 12, 13 years, something
like that. Like at least that much. We worked together at a department store in cosmetics. Not for very long though. I didn't work there very long.
Oh, you didn't, but I just fell in love with you instantly.
Oh, you're so sweet. I fell in love with you too. We had just a love connection very quickly. Yeah. But through the magic of social media, we've been able to stay in touch all these years. Yes. And I don't think we'd really talked too much. I mean, just like a little bit here and there. But then, was it last year that you had contacted me after your son was diagnosed? Or was it 2 years
ago? It was. Okay. Yeah, he was 6 years old. He's 7 now, so
okay.
That's right.
Okay. So, and you had just reached out and sent me a message. And, I think it was like right when you had found out. And you were... Yep. You were just looking for some support, which I totally get
that. You're here. Yeah.
Yes, completely. So, okay. So take me back then, kind of to the beginning. Take me back to like when Mikey was a baby and when you first had him, and just kind of like walk me through a little bit of what that looked like.
Sure. I mean, I, of course, loved him dearly. He's just the definition of perfection. He's my perfect baby, yes. My only child. And, you know, he was one of his most defining symptoms, I guess you would say, is his fidgets, what we call them. Like, kind of, I would like equate it to like a hand flapping. Mm-hmm. It's like a tensing of muscles. He's, you know, it's changed over the years with rolling of the eyes, flexing of the legs. You know, he does different. It's a fidget. You know, it's fidgeting.
Like, what we would call stimming.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they call it. It's unusual, but it's.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And he did it from infancy. And I remember thinking when I saw him as a baby, that's what he was doing in there. Because I would feel in my stomach the fluttering. But it wasn't like a kick that somebody could feel from the outside, but I would feel it. And I honestly believe that in the womb, he was doing his fidgets.
So interesting.
It really is. Because when he came out, I remember saying, oh, that's what that was. The flexing of the legs and the hands and the arms and the feet. And he still does it.
Oh, wow.
You know, mm-hmm. to this day. I mean, it's his most defining symptom, his most obvious symptom, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had that as a baby, and then just milestones like crawling, walking. He was always just right there on the edge of normal. You know, mm-hmm. he would make it, you know, he started walking at 12 months or I'm sorry, crawling at 12 months, walking at 18 months, you know, and okay. when they would say, you're supposed to have this many words, he would have like exactly that many words, you know, it was just, you know, it was clear to me mm-hmm. that, you know, he was lagging, you know, and then we went through like preschool, the early childhood assessment and, mm-hmm. you know, they noticed there some things and, you know, it was always there. It was always clear to me, but, you know. Yeah.
Did your pediatrician, did you guys ever discuss this like before preschool age or was it like, okay.
It's weird with his pediatrician because his pediatrician was the same man who was there in the hospital from birth. And I never really liked him. And I remember okay. you talking about a teacher that you didn't love for Logan.
Yep.
And the feeling was similar. Like mm-hmm. I remember he put on his first preschool physical, autism spectrum disorder. And he hadn't gone through any formal testing or anything like that. And he just put that label on him without having explored it or discussed it. It was like he knew, you know. And I was like, why is this here? It was just not great communication with him. So then I moved to another doctor and things kind of progressed better from there.
Okay, good. So you did get him a new doctor.
Yes.
So at what age was he when the doctor had given him that label?
I still don't have a medical diagnosis for Mikey. Yeah. I only have the autism spectrum. He took the ADOS testing through the school and, okay. you know, it was administered by doctors there uh-huh. at his school. School is incredible. My son goes to an amazing school, Saratoga Elementary in Morris, Illinois, where he has received, you know, social work, speech therapy, occupation. I go through his IEP meetings there. Yeah. Just an incredible team of people. And I still haven't done the medical diagnosis, which I know I need to, but I'm like, oh God, I just am still not sure what to do because so, and it's like, where right now?
Uh-huh.
So it's difficult, but he did take the ADOS test and did score for autism spectrum disorder. So I know he has that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always has, you know, I've always known.
Okay. Gotcha. No, I mean more so like when the doctor had first said that to you, like regardless of, you know, it being a formal diagnosis, like, was it a surprise to you to hear that or no? No,
okay. It wasn't, but I was like, I want to know why you're mm-hmm. saying this. Like the communication with him totally. Wasn't great because for me, so just all consuming. I would just, when he first started to talk, when he first started to have words and his speech was getting, I remember him like coming up to me and saying, mama, and like gibberish and seeing in his eyes, like he desperately wanted to communicate whatever he was saying, but couldn't physically say the words. And I'd say, what baby, what? And I just would watch him give up and say, what I'm saying and like turn and go away and me being like, oh God, I want to know. I communicated that to the doctor and he was just like, oh, you know, he has it. And I'm like, wait, you know?
That's, yeah, I totally understand what you mean with that, about that too, because so many times too, like listening to Logan and thinking like, I know he's trying to communicate with me and it's just like the words were like just not there with him.
Yeah, and it's so heartbreaking because you're desperate to know, you know, what they're saying. And our picture looks so different now, you know, because again, through our school system, he's had an amazing, you know, I'm from a very small rural community, and we have our special education and our early childhood intervention are so strong here. And I've just seen like incredible improvements with him. And now it's a little different. I mean, he's about to be 8 and his differences are more clear the closer you get to him, you know, so he looks normally people would, you know, sometimes if children are a nonverbal or they're, you know, clearly avoiding eye contact or whatever, you know, people know, oh, okay, this is like a special needs child, you know, whatever, right away. But Mikey, you have to get into it with him. And then they go, oh, you know, like, what's going on here? Why am I having trouble communicating with this, you know, 7-year-old child? And so his picture is a little different now.
And I think that's so, that's what's so interesting about autism is that it is so different, you know, from person to person. It looks completely different.
Yes, absolutely. So with him, I find myself now really trying to let him be more independent as far as his communication with other people, strangers. Like just for example, today, I'm sure you saw on my social media, I went and had breakfast with my brother and his girlfriend. Mikey came with us. And even now he'll say, you know, he does like a little motion where he takes his finger and he puts it around to each person. And they're like, looking at me like, what's going on? What's he doing? I'm like, oh, it's the fortune wheel. So whoever he lands on, it's your turn to talk. Or, you know what I mean? I know him.
Right.
It's just like me and him. And so it's so hard to let him just go out there and not say, oh, he's saying yes. Or repeat the word that he says, you know, let him be understood. Mm-hmm. Let him be asked to repeat because I hover and I'm like, oh, he said this, or oh, he wants to know this, or he's playing this, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh my gosh, I do the same. It's so hard to find that happy medium of like, you know, obviously protecting them and being there for them, but at the same time, letting them, you know, have that space to do their own thing and to, yeah, to say their words and to, you know, have that, because that, I mean,
communicate.
Yeah.
To gain independence, you know, it's such a habit. Yeah. It's just so ingrained in my interaction with him. And so that's where I'm struggling now. And also, like, he's been having a lot of what they call discipline referral forms at school, which is where, you know, your kid acts up and they call the office and they send home a thing that says, hey, this is what your kid did. You know, so lately he's been having a lot of trouble with partner work. He doesn't want to do partner work. And they'll say, oh, he really hurt the other child's feelings. You know, and I'm like, well, that's because he has trouble with social communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, autism spectrum disorder is a social communication disorder. Like, they know that, you know, like, that's on his, everybody knows that's why he has his aid. That's, you know, that's what's happening. Why are we, you know, forcing that? But then I just go, you know what? He's got to do it. He's got to do it. He's got to fight through it. As hard as it may be, you know, for me, it may be natural to be like, hey, yeah, it was cool. Let's work together. You know, where for him, it's like, eh, I can't look at you in the face, you know?
It's so, there's so many things that we, and you don't even realize it until you have a child with autism, we take for granted. We take for granted so many of like the things that we're able to do, like just, I mean, just speaking, just being able to have a conversation without having to, you know, really search for the words. Those are all, those are things that we don't even think about. But, you know, when you have autism, it's just like everything is, you work so hard for all of that. So it's like you said, you know, everybody realizes like, this is the issue that we're dealing with, but it still keeps coming up because, you know, people just, they don't really know how to handle it sometimes.
Yeah.
That was going to be my other question for you. So what grade is he in now?
He's in second grade and he is in, he's in a regular classroom setting with an aide.
Awesome. And he has the aide like all day with him.
Correct. Yes. All day, every day. But he has improved by leaps and bounds, like in these last 2 years. He just finished occupational therapy first grade was his last year of occupational therapy. So now he's just doing speech and social work. So, you know, he's worked super, super, super hard to get to where he is. And I'm just overly proud of him, of course.
Yeah, it sounds like he's honestly doing amazing.
He really is. He really is. And it's, God, you know how it is, man. It's like, they're the most perfect person you ever met. And you hate to have to watch them work so hard, you know?
You hate to watch it, but at the same time, it's just like I've said it before, like the, when they do reach those milestones or when they have that progress, you're so much more thankful for it and you appreciate it 10 times harder because you know how hard they've worked for it.
See, that's unique for you. You have other children. He's my only one.
Yeah.
So you're probably thinking, for your other children, oh, you guys are sailing.
Oh, totally.
You don't even know.
That's how I feel, especially with my middle, because like she's 2 and a half now. And yeah, I mean, like, obviously, like, I'm so proud of her for everything that she's able to do. Like, I'm amazed by her. But yeah, it's so funny too, because like we are, I mean, because Logan is still, for all intents and purposes, nonverbal. He has lots of words and he's starting to have a few phrases, so we're
He's gonna get there.
Yes, thank you. No, we're seeing huge progress, but it's so funny because we still, when we're like requesting for him to say a word, we'll kind of like point to our mouth to show him, like, you know, okay, say the word. So she'll see us doing that with him. So like if we want him to say please, and we're like, okay, pointing to your mouth, say please, and then she points to her mouth, please, and we're like, okay, no, you know, you can say it. We're not concerned about you. It's so funny, but she's a copycat.
No points for you.
No, sorry. Okay. She's such a copycat, though. She has to be like, have the same thing.
You have, they're also gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much. Shows Mikey. He's, oh my God, he's so handsome. He's just like,
It's like, even okay. So you're obviously just always going to be a little weird, but I'm hoping that those good looks. Don't just pull you on through. You
know? You're a little quirky, but you're super handsome.
But you're so damn handsome. You'll probably be our. That's what I tell myself. Oh my God,
that's so funny. Well, I mean, he's just a stud muffin. So I'm with you.
Thanks, girl.
Okay, but tell me a little about that, because Mikey's your only child, and you are a single mom. So I think it's a little the challenges that you face are a little bit different than, you know, a lot of parents on the spectrum who have a partner to lean on. Tell me about that.
Yeah. I had a relationship with his father. We were together for 6 years. You know, I always kind of knew that maybe I was dating down, you know.
Okay.
You know, but I adored him and just loved him so dearly. And he had such a beautiful, joyful spirit, which I really think Mikey has gotten. Along with his looks, you know, he looks nothing like me. And so, you know, when we were together, it was, and I had my pregnancy, I never really thought of actually raising a child. It was just like me and him and like our sleeping little baby worried about being a couple, you know?
Yeah.
So that he was born and everything changed. You know, he was this needy being that just needed my whole self. And I changed. It was like I became responsible, became solely focused on my son.
You became a mother.
What's that?
I said you became a mother.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm somebody's actual mom now. I can't be your mom anymore.
Right.
You know, so, you know, cheated, whatever. Things went south. We broke up. Never in all my wildest dreams did I ever think he would just completely abandon, you know, his child, but that's what happened. He kind of, you know, drifted into the past slowly, but surely. And it's just been me and Mikey. And I went through my whole, you know, sort of uncovering of his ASD alone. And it was tough, man. It was scary, but I have a great support system. My family is always there for me. My work family, I remember going through that whole period where he was going through the early childhood intervention testing. And there was one morning in particular, I remember I was sitting in the office of the school that he was potentially going to go to. I had wanted him to go to the church preschool that me and all my siblings had gone to. But after he had gone through the testing, it was clear that he needed more than they were able to offer. And, I'm sitting in this office waiting for this results from these tests. And, you know, a girlfriend of mine from work texted me and said, "Hey, listen, no matter what happens, you got this. You have a beautiful boy. He's perfect. You're a great mom. Be strong. I'm here for you. Call me when you're done. Tell me all about it." And just that text message, I remember, like, it makes me want to choke up, like, so vividly, because that support, just having her there for me and knowing that someone saw how hard it was, you know?
Yeah.
A lot. And that was when, you know, they told me that, you know, he needed more. He needed help. He was not where he was supposed to be and stuff. And I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Tough. Yeah. It's tough to deal with that as a parent, I think, in any capacity. But yeah, I feel like as a single parent, that's got to be so tough because, you know, you need so much support when you're going through that. And yeah, I mean, obviously I have my husband and Manny and we were really, really leaned on each other at that time. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel for you that you,
yeah.
That you.
Well, and I always had my mom too. I remember conversation with my mom, bawling. I mean, I was girl, you know, the tears.
Don't even have to explain that. I'm
yes,
familiar just with saying, the tears.
But it's so unfair. Why can he not just say what he wants to say? And it was, you know, again, just seeing that look in his face where he would just give up, that he just wasn't able to communicate, you know, or when he would cry and cry and cry and I wouldn't know what, you know, and just saying, why is it so hard? And her, you know, I could see that she hated seeing me that way, but mm-hmm. She was like, well, you can sit here and cry about it, or you can do whatever you have to do, you know? And
yeah.
And just like, you're going to have to be a strong, you know, for lack of a better word, to deal with what you know, like you're going to have to be strong and cut the whining, sack up and what you got to do. And I was like, okay, all right, I got this. I can do this. You know, she's good for that kind of tough, you know.
I know that your family is awesome and they're always there for you and Mikey, which is.
Yeah, we have a great support system.
That's so good. Yeah.
And he has a cousin that has too, some symptoms, which makes you wonder about like genetics and stuff. And he's like, both, Mikey's cousin, who's like 6 months younger than him, and Mikey have a lot of like sensory stuff. They're both really, really bad with food. Like they both have, you can count on two hands the things that they will eat, you know. And so
yeah,
there's that too, that I always had my sister that I could be like, oh my god, if I'm able to keep him alive, you know, that's gonna be the bottom line. And she's like, I hear ya, like my kid's over here skin and bone, the kid won't eat, you know.
Yes, oh my gosh, I totally understand that. Logan is like, literally I had to find a belt today to keep his pants on because that's how skinny he is. His pants won't even stay on.
Yeah. And people are like, well, if you just let him starve long enough, you're like, no, he will literally let himself die. Like, you don't get it.
That is the worst, when someone tries to give you that kind of advice of like, well, yeah, don't feed him snacks and like, just let him eat their food. And it's like, okay, do you think that like, I'm choosing to do this? Like, do you think?
I mean, I would shut my mouth if I could. Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh. Totally. No, I 100%. I always feel like with food though, like, and we'll talk about this with his therapist a lot. Like, they're like, well, I mean, we could do like some food therapy. And not that it's not something I want to work on, because eventually I do, but I'm always like, we have bigger fish to fry than the food thing. Because I'm like, he's alive, he's growing, he's technically like totally like he's pretty average. He's really tall, but he's pretty average as far as like growth curve kind of thing. So as much as it, like, as the mother in me is like, eat, you need to eat. He actually, I mean, I'm like, okay, you're a healthy growing child. So I'm like, let's focus on, the bigger stuff. And then eventually we'll work on the food stuff.
When we get there, we'll get there. And I've had the school. I mean, every year, school starts, the kids start going to lunch. They say, "Hi, we noticed Mikey's not really eating." I'm like, "Yeah, he's not. I'll get a note from his doctor if you need one." Like,
Yep.
he's not gonna eat. Just don't bother. Let the kid just live.
Just let him know.
Keep him alive. Don't worry. We'll handle it here.
Yes, absolutely. I think you do have to kind of get that way. Like when you have a child with autism, you kind of like how your mom was saying too. Like you gotta like, okay, can't whine about it. Gotta, strong. But you learn to talk that way to other people too. Like it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, you're right. That is what it is. Like you don't have time to like over explain things to someone because it's like, here's the situation. It is what it is. Like either accept it or get out of my way.
Exactly. I love that. Accept it or get out of my way. Like either you're into it or you're not. And I go through those experiences with like his extracurriculars and stuff. Like I had him in baseball, and it's like, okay, you're clearly getting awkward trying to interact with my child. Just bye. That's fine. Bye. And then there are people that are like, hey, buddy, all right, and they're into it. Great. Either way, whoever you're going to be, that's fine. We're going to be here, be doing our thing, and either you're into it or you're not. And that's just how you have to be. And it's taken me, girl, all these years to even get to that point, and still working,
Yes. No, it's always a work in progress because they're always changing, we're always changing, and like how we were saying before too, it's like you want to do everything for them, but at the same time you want to give them their space. So it's just like finding that balance is just so hard.
It absolutely is, but
I
that's what
want
we got to.
to backtrack just a little bit just because I personally have questions about it. But what does it look like with the school testing? Because that wasn't even something that like I knew was really a thing until you had told me that when Mikey was diagnosed that he had done the school testing, and I was like, they do that at school? Like I didn't even know about that.
Well, he again, I can't say enough good things about the school that he's in. And the women, they were b both women, the God, I can't remember their titles. They work for the school and they're both doctors.
Okay.
And they had been just in Mikey's day-to-day from his preschool to, let's see, I think it was the end of kindergarten that he received his testing. So for like 2 years. And he was under the umbrella of developmental delay as far as his education was concerned. And in that time period that he was going through school under that umbrella was in the time period that I was changing doctors for him. I went from his pediatrician, who was severely lacking, to this general practitioner who we have now, who's great and kind of lets me take the reins, which, I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's where we're at. And they were like, as Mikey goes on in his education, there's less available to him under this label of developmental delay than if we do some further testing, and if they score within this certain test, the ADOS test, there's more available to them, which we think he needs. And I was like I've always been like very reluctant, like very denial, very like, no, he's fine, until like recent years, And I was like, all right, cool, go ahead, do that, do that. And then they're like, okay, well, just understand this is the same medical test that they give in a medical setting, but because it's being done, by us, even though we're doctors, but it's just for his individual education program, it doesn't serve as a medical diagnosis. And so I said, okay, cool, still go ahead and administer that switch. They did the ADOS test and he scored on the autism spectrum. So he's just
Okay.
been going through his doctor knows about that, and he's like, okay, whenever you're ready to move further, because my concern is that, it's like people are going to see this label and go, oh, he has ASD. He can't. Or he's going to say that to himself. Oh, the reason I can't do this is because I have this diagnosis. And so I'm sitting here going, what is the best call for him? Because as of now, he receives services and therapy and all that stuff through the school under the autism spectrum diagnosis that he got for his edu individual education program. But medically, and I want to say it's like they have to be like 10 or 13 years, I don't know what it is in Illinois, to continue receiving services until it is required for them to have a medical diagnosis. So I'm kind
Oh, okay.
of see how second grade goes, and second grade is looking grim.
Grim.
We're getting little discipline referral forms almost daily, So he has an appointment on October 2nd with his doctor, so we're going to go and talk about, getting formally diagnosed and stuff, and then, still kind of riding the wave and just trying them and, making all these calls by myself, and
Yeah.
it's tough. It's tough. It really is, but I'm just kind of.
You're figuring it out.
Figuring it out.
I mean, I
Yes.
think it's hard for any parent. We all, whether you have a neurotypical child or not, it's like you're just kind of navigating everything. And then obviously, yeah, when you have a child on the spectrum, it just makes it that much harder because, like you said, you never know like where's the best place, what's the best move, what's the best decision. And yeah, when it all falls on you, because like for you, it really all falls on
Yes.
you. Sure.
Am I doing the right thing? Is this the right thing? What is the right thing?
Yeah.
That's just what you just have to constantly ask yourself and constantly reassess. And I'm such a, I like I'm so proud of you, and I'm so envious of you, how you are like an advocate for awareness, and you are just, promoting awareness that children with autism are just
Yes.
people,
Yeah.
and I wish I had the bravery to do that, but my instinct is to go, you could probably pass him off. It's, without the label, he could probably get away with it. But then I'm like, I don't know, can he?
Aw.
And I, and but because think about it. I mean, in generations past, and there are probably so many people that are on the spectrum that never
Oh,
got
100.
slapped that label,
Yeah.
And it's like it means something, I feel. And I just want to do right by him, man. That's all I
I
want to do.
know.
But I know, but I'm seeing now, like we're in second grade, and this kid, man, he just will not do what he's told. He just will not. And I'm like, all right,
Keeping you on toes.
we're gonna have to call a spade,
That, oh my gosh, Christy, that is my phrase for like literally everything. I say, okay, let's just call a spade, and that's
Yeah.
I say it all the time, but that's kind of how I feel about autism. And I mean, that's so sweet of you to say, first of all. Thank you so much for saying that. But I really, like,
Oh my God, you.
when Logan got diagnosed, I just saw that as like, as soon as it happened, I was just like, okay, I know, like, it is my duty as his mother that I have to advocate. I have to be an advocate for him and for everybody out there with autism, because it is such like a stigma around.
It is unfair. It
Yeah, and it's
is.
so unfair. And it was like at that point, Logan was 4 when he was diagnosed, and even though we knew what we were dealing with, before that, we had this little 4-year-old little boy who, like you said, he was and he is just this perfect little human being. And for
Yes.
me, I was like, yeah, he has this diagnosis of autism, but like that he's so much more than autism.
Yeah, he Logan. He Logan.
Yes.
He's a little guy, man. He is who he
Yes.
is. It's like I just want to demand for that to be seen. And I think that we're getting there. We're getting there. It's getting better all the time. I actually have a girlfriend who a single girl also was doing the dating online thing. Met this guy and she's like, "Oh my God, he's so cute. I can't believe he's single. Like he has money, he's so cute, he's so attractive." She met him and he said, autistic. And she's like, oh, he's autistic. And I'm like, so fucking what? He's cute. He's got money. He's just a regular dude. He might be a little weird, but hey, girl, they all are. At least he's not a cheater. At least he's not a drug addict. Come on,
I
man.
mean, yeah, I say good for him. He's
Yeah.
like, yeah,
Or
that's who.
just the fact that she's an autistic guy on a dating site, I was like, yes, honey, for that autistic guy, I'm like, you go get you a girl.
Yes, I love it.
I love it. I was listening to a DL Hughley had a special on Netflix, and he has a child with Asperger's syndrome, and he had some jokes on there about that that I was like, oh my God, I love this. We're getting into the public sphere where we can talk about it, we can joke about it, we can.
Becoming
It doesn't have to be this like death sentence that I, thought about it. It just seemed so detrimental. It seemed so like, oh my God, like my world is ending. And just as I go on and as we go on together, him and I, it just makes me like hopeful that it's all gonna be all right. He's gonna have a great life,
Oh my God.
and so
He,
I
first of all, he already does have a great life because he has you, and you guys
Right.
have a great
Thank you.
life. And he that there's absolutely no reason why that is not going to continue. That's just going to keep going, and it's
Exactly.
going
For
to be.
all of these, for all of these children, for all of these children, it just is getting better and better all the time.
I talked about that. I think it was episode 3. I talked about the show Atypical and how, there's like TV shows now that are about autism, and a lot of people, like, I'll hear criticism of it, but I'm like, okay, yeah, it's not perfect, but like, it's out there. It's becoming more
Yes.
mainstream. So it's like, let's all just like celebrate that like this is a conversation that we're having
Get
now.
into it. Yeah.
Yeah, that we weren't able to have a few years ago. I mean, that's another reason why I want to do this podcast too. Like, I just want to put it out there. I want to make it known that like these kids and adults they're just people. Like that's it. And they might look a little different or act a little different or sound a little different, but it's like we're all in this together. That's really how I look at it.
Yeah, it's just I just have always been so terrified that his humanity would get lost in this title, in this label,
Yeah.
That's always been my fear, and it's always been my you know what I mean? Like I'm like, yeah, I know, we know, but do you need to know? You know what I mean? Kind of
I mean, that's a
feeling.
legitimate fear as a parent, for sure. I'm sure that, a lot of autism parents have that same fear. Like, yeah, you don't want your kid to be judged or to be treated differently. But I think that's why, at least for me, why I really want to like change the conversation and lead the conversation to say that,
Oh my God,
yeah.
I like you, Megan. Seriously, I'm like, oh my God, she is so brave. I am such a, PUSSY that I can't
No.
even get out there. But I'm also something. I also tell myself too, trust your instinct. Just keep going, keep following what you feel is best. And it's just it's a daily struggle. You know how it is. Every day,
I do.
every day.
Oh yeah, every day for sure. No, I totally understand that. No, you are extremely brave. Look at you. You're on the podcast. That's
I did.
extremely
I
brave.
had the podcast. I was scared.
No, you're amazing, and you're doing amazing.
Oh,
So,
you are.
Mikey. Okay, so I have a couple questions that I just want to ask you just to finish. So tell me,
Sure.
what has been so far for you the biggest lesson that you've learned like throughout this journey?
I would say that it's not about me. You know, that's, and it's still a hard lesson to be learned. I'm still forcing myself to say, it's not about you. It's not about what's best for you. It's not about what you want. You know, it's that, like releasing of yourself for what is best for your child.
Yeah, that's so right. You hit the nail on the head. It's the truth because yeah, we have an idea of, you know, what things are going to look like and what we want and how we want them to go.
Yes.
And yeah, as soon as you have a child on the spectrum, it's like that all gets thrown out the window.
Right. And I feel bad on myself about it, and I feel like I'm getting better.
You're doing amazing.
Thank you,
That's so smart. Okay, and then my
doll.
other question for you, and I feel like I already know, but I just want to hear you say it. What is your favorite part about being Mikey's mom?
Oh my God. As if I could name a favorite. Yeah, probably my favorite part is just being able to look at his face and hold him in my arms, and the laughter. He
Aww.
cracks me up. He's hilarious. He makes me laugh every day. What did he say this morning? The second we woke up. Oh, the second we woke up this morning. Girl, barely opened my eyes. I mean, this kid, if it's the weekend, he's up with the roosters
Oh,
for
that's
school. I gotta drag him kicking and screaming. So he wakes up, butt crack of dawn, mom, mom, mom. I'm like, what? I gotta tell you a secret. I'm like, okay, honey, what is it? It's really important. Okay, go ahead. What's the secret? My belly button? Yeah. It's my self-destruct button. So you can never touch
It's
it.
his what?
His self-destruct button.
Oh.
So you can never. I'm talking 6 in the morning. This kid's mind is going,
Oh my
you know,
goodness.
and it just goes on from there,
They never,
you know.
yeah.
Mom, how are wasps different from bees, you know? Or how? It just all day, every day, this kid's mind is just
He's thinking.
beyond the scope that I can understand.
Aw.
But it cracks me up. He kills me. He said, my belly button is my self-destruct button. I'm barely awake. But I just started dying. I'm like, kid, you are crazy.
That is hilarious. Oh my
He
gosh.
kills me, man.
So
He makes me laugh all the time. He's the
oh.
coolest. Just
Oh.
hanging out with him. Best
That's what
part,
I
getting to
thought
be
you were gonna
around him.
say is just
It's
being
magic
with him.
every day.
Cause I can tell just from like seeing all your pictures and everything with him that you just enjoy him so much and you love him so much and
Oh,
that
just the best. And it's like, that's why it pisses me off that everybody doesn't get how awesome he is, you know?
They do. They will. They're
It's
gonna
like,
see
but
it.
why do you gotta treat him weird? You know, he's the best. Just hang out for a second. You'll get it, you know?
I know. I know. I know. I
You
feel.
know. Like, just hang out with him for a second. It seems scary, but just give it a minute, you know?
Anyone that knows Logan, like for more than a couple minutes, will tell me that, like, oh my gosh, he's just the best. And I'm like, yeah, I know he is. I'm like, oh.
Don't be scared. He may look a little different from other kids, but he's the best, dude. You got to hang out with him. You don't get it. You know, it's like,
So
just take a look, take a look, take a listen, take a feel, you know, just take it in. All their sounds, all their movements. It's unique. It's unusual, but it's so pleasing. Like, I also find him just like aesthetically pleasing. Just to watch him, even though his mannerisms or whatever might be unusual, it's like he's fascinating. And I'm sure you see that with Logan. And I'll see pictures of Logan. It's like, even though their eyes aren't like maybe looking at the camera, or even maybe they're trying to wiggle out of your arms, something about that child is just so visually striking, you know?
That's so
Don't you?
sweet. Well, I yes, of course. I find him visually striking always, all the time, because he's my baby.
And other autistic children, you know, you just think, oh, something about them. It's unique. It's interesting. I kind of like it, you know.
Well, they are unapologetically themselves. Like, they make no bones about the fact that, like, this is me and you're the one who's gonna have to deal with it. And I love that.
Oh my God, me too. Because I'm over here going, I don't know. He might be freaked out if you do it. And he's just like, I don't care. I'm doing it. This is me. You know, I'm doing what I'm gonna do. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm trying to let it out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Christy, I've so enjoyed talking to you. You're so funny. You always crack me up.
Oh, thank you, girl.
But thank you so much for coming on. I know there's gonna be so many people listening that can relate to you, and
I hope so. And I really don't wanna like come across as somebody who doesn't embrace being, you know, an autism mom. You know, I just wanted to be so honest. So I was so nervous to do this, but I was like, I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. No, I think that there's probably, I think most parents would feel the same way that you do, because it's like, you, as much as you want to, you know, do everything for your kid, it's still really scary and it's really hard. And I think that, yeah, you being so honest about it, I think, yeah, I know that people are going to relate to you for sure.
Okay, cool.
All right, girl. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Best of luck to you. Congratulations on everything. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Yes, you take care.
Okay, bye, honey.
Bye. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening to my conversation with Christy. She just cracks me up. I think she is so funny. She has always cracked me up from the time that I met her. But I just think she had so much great stuff to say, and I think that a lot of people can relate to what she was saying and how she feels. I know I certainly can as well. Again, I'm sorry the audio was not the best on that episode. I'm still learning. I am definitely a podcast novice. So I'm trying to get it all together. But again, thank you guys so much for listening and for supporting the show. I have been receiving such awesome feedback, and it honestly just warms my heart. Every message and review I have received, it's just amazing to see everything coming together and for people to be really appreciating the show, because this was an idea that I've had for a long time and I really wanted to make it a reality, and now it is. And it's so awesome to see it all coming together. So again, if you are interested in being on the podcast, I am interested in talking to you. I have some awesome guests lined up in the coming weeks, so that's very exciting. But yes, if you would like to get in contact with me, you can email me at adventuresinautism2018@yahoo.com. You can connect with me on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page. It's just Adventures in Autism Podcast. Or you can check me out on Instagram, slide into the DMs, as the kids would say, Adventures in Autism Pod on Instagram. But again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. So that's all for now. Take care.